I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey. And we're the Office Ladies. We're still talking about all the hilarious behind-the-scenes details from The Office with icons from the show like Rainn Wilson, Greg Daniels, Melora Hardin, and so many more.
And we can't forget our two conversations with Office Ladies superfan Billie Eilish.
Hello. So join us for brand new episodes every Wednesday.
And revisit The Office Rewatch every Monday.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you heard the news from Laura. Byron Buxton back in the lineup for the Field of Dreams game tonight. And the Twins posted a picture on their social media of Buck and his son having a catch. It's pretty amazing. Dad, do you want to have a catch? Is the caption of Byron and his son, Brixton, right?
Yeah, that's Brixton. His son Blaze, I don't know if Blaze is there with him, but when I was down in spring training after you had left, just abandoned me there.
Yeah.
And then I was hanging out with Vanita. His son Blaze was out there, and they were doing the same kind of play and catch out on the spring training field. And it is, maybe I'm just a sucker, but that whole dad, you want to have a catch bit from the movie?
Yes.
It gets me every time.
What a moment, right? And with Buck being activated off of the IL just in time for this game tonight.
Yep.
And, oh, it's pretty good.
They got to do the players emerging from the corn bit, don't they?
Oh, for sure. That'll be on Netflix tonight on TV. We'll have the game here on CCO, of course.
Pre-game at 6 o'clock.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get you closer to the pregame in the next hour. We had Lisa Damoth on the show yesterday, and you can check out the whole interview if you missed it. It's available wherever you get podcasts. We had Lisa Damoth. We had Peggy Flanagan, both on the show. And what I said to Lisa is that I think the Republicans have their most electable lineup with her and Michelle Tafoya than I can't even remember. It goes back to Tim Pawlenty, I think, but I can't remember a time where Republicans have more mainstream accessible candidates. I sort of don't know how to talk about this without saying, like, they didn't nominate anybody. I mean, the shortcut is to say they didn't nominate anybody who seems crazy. But the other part is there are certain aspects of both of these candidates that I think remove some of the disqualifiers for the independent voter, for the Republican who maybe identifies as like a Tim Pawlenty style Republican, which I often say, like, if you're a Tim Pawlenty style Republican today in the political dynamic today, that probably makes you a moderate Democrat. Andy Bram is a conservative contributing columnist to the Minnesota Star Tribune. He's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Andy, am I saying this right? Does this feel to you like the best top two at the top of the ticket since the Tim Pawlenty years?
I would agree with that. And first of all, thanks for having me. It's always good to be on your show.
Thank you. Absolutely.
I mean, these are two rock star candidates, and it's been interesting. I've been hearing from, honestly, a lot of Democrats that people are pleased to have a vibrant Republican Party again and to have some choices and that there's going to be some competition. Both Lisa Damoth and Michelle Tafoya are very articulate, strong leaders, and the polls show are going to be able to give Democrats a run for their money. So we Republicans have not done a very good job of putting forward good candidates, and I give my party enormous credit. We turned that corner Tuesday night, so it's going to be a very competitive November.
Were you surprised by just how dominant both Michelle Tafoya and Lisa Damoth turned out to be based on the primary election numbers from Tuesday?
Not really, because the consensus amongst a lot of Republicans has just been, we can't afford another DFL trifecta. We cannot afford to let Democrats take control of the state again. The consequences were pretty severe, and I think Republicans had some blame in that. by just not putting forward our best people. So the desire to win, the love for our state, the love for Minnesota, and we want it to do better. And the way we do that is to have some influence in St. Paul. So I think people sobered up, and we wanted to put forward winners, and there's no question that we did. I mean, Mike Lindell, he'd been our nominee. I certainly wouldn't have voted for him. It would have been a train wreck, and rightfully so. So kudos to Minnesota Republicans.
So let me ask this, Andy, because, you know, I think most Minnesota Republicans support Donald Trump, the never Trump, that sort of era of that wing of the Republican Party. To me, I don't feel that that's a significant group of Republicans in Minnesota anymore. What do you think Republicans in Minnesota were thinking when they said, you know what, we love Donald Trump, but no, like, he's not reading this correctly?
Well, I think Minnesota conservatives are independent minded. We certainly have a history of that. In 2016, we were the only state to go for Marco Rubio. So, we do that. I think a lot of, you know, a lot of support for President Trump has come from really the alternative. People have been wanting to, you know, get behind him because the alternative has been so rough. I don't know if it's necessarily endorsement of everything that he does or says. I know a lot of us Republicans certainly have issues with that. So we'll see. Politics is constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. And I'm in a very good mood today. I like the direction Republicans are heading in. We can be plenty conservative. I'm a very conservative guy, but we can do it in a way that's attractive. And we've had a tough time doing that. And I think that's about to change.
Michelle Tafoya is, for me, the unknown, where, you know, we had a caller earlier today say, like, Michelle Tafoya's never served. She's never run for anything. What has she ever done besides, you know, sports caster? And I guess I would say, I'm like, well, Al Franken was a comedian before he became a senator. I don't think I think it's good for America to have people as a part of the Senate, as a part of the House, who come from a different background, who maybe haven't spent their whole life running for something. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to vote for the non-political lifer, but just having a resume doesn't necessarily do much for me either. The question with Tafoya is that we just don't know, like, once you get into a real campaign where you're getting asked questions and you're expected to know a position, who knows what's going to happen between now and Election Day. We sort of don't know how she's going to respond to that, right?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't think it'd be hard to find somebody, more articulate than Michelle Tafoya. She certainly knows how to speak in front of a camera. And
for sure,
she clearly knows herself well and what she believes in. Quite frankly, I'll take that. I mean, she's a very successful person. And you compare that to Peggy Flanagan, who has never had a job in the private sector. I think that's one of the problems we have, particularly in Minnesota, is we have leaders who have never had any experience in business at all. That goes for the governor as well. And so they don't understand how the private economy works. So I'll take her resume any day over Peggy Flanagan, who has never.
Well, I know a lot of people who worked in TV stations. I don't know that that's a positive factor, Andy.
Well, maybe you're right. I'm a lawyer, so that wouldn't help me either.
That's true. No, I know. We used to send all the lawyers to D.C. That's not in vogue anymore. That's for sure. Andy Brown.
We're unpopular.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
So. When you look at issues, obviously fraud is an issue. I think for a Senate race, fraud will be an issue. It's probably not going to be the, you know, I don't know. We'll see. There is some federal role, maybe in oversight or providing funding or figuring out better ways to prevent fraud. But do you expect, you know, what do you think will be the main issues when it becomes to, we really get the Tafoya Flanagan battle?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this might sound corny, but honestly, I just think people want to see the state work better. And so fraud is obviously a huge part of that. It's obviously an indicator that our state government is not working well at all. But we see it, you know, across the board. We're paying way too high of taxes. Our schools aren't working. It's just state government, local government isn't working well. So I think all that comes together. And it just seems to be a consensus that people that are used to Minnesota kind of being at the top of the heap in so many different areas, we've really come down a notch. So, is fraud going to be an issue? Absolutely, it should be. I mean, people are disgusted by it. And, you know, we can justify our high taxes here by saying, okay, well, maybe, you know, there's some return on investment.
That's
but
exactly right.
When our tax dollars are going to, when it's going to fraud, you certainly can't justify that. They belong on at your home versus in a fraudster's pocket.
Well, and we don't have the results in schools that we used to. We don't. I mean, a lot of the things where you would say, as you're saying, like we were, yeah, I'll pay higher taxes if it's going to work. But if it's not working, then you start to ask questions about it for sure. I do think Republicans, you know, the math in this state is still difficult, right? I mean, and you saw it in primary turnout where you see Peggy Flanagan getting, you know, what, 200,000 more votes than Lisa Damath got in a, you know, obviously two different races, but both very competitive races. Do you read too much into that primary turnout, or do you think the general will be a different deal?
Listen, I think Democrats are going to come out. I mean, Peggy Flanagan excites a certain segment of the far left portion of the electorate. I give her that. I mean, she is a genuine far left liberal, and she, you know, she doesn't hide from that, which I, you know, in some ways I respect. But I think she's going to have an equal factor in getting people out that say, hey, I want that's just not me. That's not, those aren't my values. And I don't want that representing me in the United States Senate. So it's nothing personal against Peggy Flanagan. I think she means well. I've met her, actually. She's very pleasant. But she is a really hardcore liberal. And again, a lot of people came out to support her. And I get why. But I don't think that makes up a majority electorate in the state.
Well, Andy, we wanted to have you on just because this was such a fascinating Republican race this year, to have Lisa Damath beat the guy the president endorsed, the guy the party endorsed.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and it does make you, for me, look, I just vote the show. I mean, having two competitive races with four really good candidates, two good, you know, you got really accomplished, four accomplished women at the top of both of these tickets. Cool. Like, let's have it out, and let's talk about what we think the future should be like. I think it's great.
Amen. So, yeah, good. It's good for everybody. And
yes.
I'm very optimistic. I think these are winnable races. I really do. I don't think Amy Klobuchar is a foregone conclusion. People want to see change. But we'll see. It's going to be tight, and it'll be interesting to watch. And like I said, I think it'll be very healthy for our state that needs some political competition.
Andy, thank you. You can read Andy Brehm's piece at the Minnesota Star Tribune, startribune.com, one of the contributing columnists. And we appreciate having Andy on. 5:20, we're going to break. Field of Dreams game tonight in Iowa. We're just about 40 minutes away from pregame. We wanted to ask you what your favorite baseball movie is. Is it Field of Dreams? What's the best baseball movie of all time? 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in a minute.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.